Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Welcome to Vampire Hype episode 40. Yay, 40 episodes. We're going to be talking about Vampire Diaries and the originals this week, the fifth episode of each. Vampire Diaries is called Monster's Ball, the originals, Sinners and Saints, which is backwards, and I don't like it. And I really just don't like it. Today, joining me are Kristen and Pamela. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi.
We're really excited to talk about what's going to happen, or what has happened on this episode. And before we do, let's just tell you guys how to contact us in case you're listening to us for the first time, or like you seem to have forgotten. You can contact us on Twitter, Gmail, or Hypeable. So that's twitter.com/VampireHype, VampireHypePodcast@gmail.com, or HYPABLE.com. You can comment on any of the Vampire Diaries or Originals stories, and we will get that feedback. Also, don't forget to rate us on iTunes so that other people can find us through there and listen to our amazing inside jokes and our amazing ability to predict everything. I mean, guys, we predicted like half the stuff that happened in Vampire Diaries last week, so that was awesome.
We're just that good, man.
I know, right? Like, as soon as they revealed all that stuff, I was like, oh, called it. We're so good.
Yes. I gave ourselves like a mental high five, you know, a virtual high five, because we're all in different places.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Oh man. It was great. And we had a lot of Twitter people comment on us and be like, well, no way. Did you actually predict this? You'd be like, yep. Yes, we did. It was great.
We're just that good. Julie Plec. You're welcome.
Right. like Julie actually tells us her secrets and then we spoil you guys.
Shh, don't give just... it away. Make
a, oh my god, I wish Julie Plec was smart. My best friend. Oh,
I know, right?
Julie will be your friends.
Love us.
Oh my goodness, we know you're listening. Come on, love us already. If you don't want to listen to the Vampires discussion, you can skip to 41 minutes in and start the originals. Let's get started on the Vampire Diaries. We're going to discuss it via characters today. So if you think we're skipping something, we're not. We're just going through each character's story arc in the episode. Let's start off with the recap. Kristen, would you mind reading the recap real quick?
Surely. All right. For the Vampire Diaries, Episode 5, Monsters Ball, we have the recap. Everyone's on a mission in Monsters Ball. There's a Halloween ball at the college, and it seems that despite it not being high school, it's not a dance if there isn't drama. Ketsia finds her talisman and flirts with Silas Stefan. Elena finds out that her professor knows that people are watching her, and Damon's plan to kill Silas and switch him out for Bonnie means he has to work with Silas. Yikes. Meanwhile, Catherine finds out that her daughter has been alive and turned into a vampire, and Caroline gets another tough break from Tyler. Ouch.
Oh my goodness. I'm, like, really excited to talk about that whole Tyler bit, but we'll just skip that for the end. Let's just talk about the whole Elena-Damon thing, because that was... their story arcs were really kind of central throughout the entire episode. The episode opens with Dr. Maxfield doing this weird, like... experiment thing on Jesse, and it just makes me wonder how many vampires he's turned to get his perfect candidate, as he says. Like, did anyone else find that ridiculously creepy?
Yeah, it was like Frankenstein, you know what I mean? Like, it was really weird
because I don't know what he's going to do to Jesse. Like, I feel like he's going to try to get Jesse to talk to Caroline and Elena on his behalf and kind of convince them to, like, talk to him and tell him all of his secrets. But I don't know how... I don't understand how a human can try to control a vampire. That just doesn't make sense to me. But
Well, this whole sequence thing kind of confused the heck out of me because I couldn't figure out if he already was a vampire or if he was in transition. And I was like, if he's in transition... then is he lording it over him? And then it seemed like he was a vampire, and I was like, ah, whatever.
Right? Exactly. He was, like, lifting it.
All I knew, I was like, Maxfield's being a creeper. That's basically all
right.
We need to know.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he did say that Jesse hasn't fed in, like, 3 days. or like I and don't you die after like 24 hours of not feeding. Right. So
I think that was the moment that I was like, okay, so he must be a vampire. Check.
Yeah.
Like when we left him, he had just died, so I had no idea what was going on.
Oh yeah. My goodness. But like at least he, you know, he's hot. So oh well. Dr. Maxfield can do whatever he wants. He's hot and he has a hot son or whatever Aaron is, because Aaron's gorgeous, guys. Oh my goodness. But let's not talk about, well, let's talk about Aaron for a second. We meet him in a weird memorial service to Megan, which is odd. I don't know why they'd still have like a little like memorial thing after.
Those things tend to stick around.
It's like the candles and stuff, they're always there.
When something that tragic happens, and that, you know, it was like the middle of the night, you know, unexpected kind of thing, memorials tend to stick around for a while. So I wasn't surprised by that. But, you know, I thought it was kind of weird that Elena, like, saw him there and was like, I need to talk to him.
Right? That was so, like, stalkerish of her.
Yeah,
like,
it was. But although she's been kind of playing, like, super sleuth detective, you know, since she's been back. So
She
totally is, although she could be a little more subtle about it, because she clearly looks like she was like out to dig out information,
right? Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. How much do you guys want to bet, I'm gonna call this right now, that Aaron also knew her dad and Megan, because Megan knew her dad, and so because he grew up with Megan as a kid, so if he knows her dad, then he knows something. And now if he knows, what if, oh no, that's too crazy. That's too crazy. What if his dad is also Elena's dad? And then because Dr. Maxfield is his legal guardian, that means that when his dad died, they're actually like brother-sister.
Like her real dad or her like...
Her real dad.
Adoptive parents. The Gilberts.
The Gilberts. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. Like you mean... Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Like, what if he had another kid with someone?
That would necessarily mean that, yeah, but I don't know if that would mean that Maxfield would be anything for Elena, though.
Oh, no. Maxfield isn't anything to Elena, but, like, their brother-sister, and Dr. Maxfield is her brother's legal guardian, or her stepbrother's legal guardian.
That would be really weird.
I mean, it is Vampire Diaries.
True.
That's just my crack theory for the night. Sorry, guys. But let's talk about Damon for a second. Damon wants to kill Silas when Silas is a witch. Use that death to bring Bonnie back to life, which is a little complicated. However, he has to talk to Silas in order to do that, and I'm like, I don't know, guys. I feel like this won't happen. I feel like Bonnie's just done. I don't think they're going to bring her back at all.
But she's still, like, around. You know what I mean? Like, except she... Like, I don't know. It's so weird. Because, like, why wouldn't they just have, like... Why would they have brought it back for, like... She was beginning when Elena's, like, writing her a diary. And she's like, oh, like, I know Bonnie's watching over me. But, you know, I feel like if they would have... If they were going to get rid of her, they would have ended it at the memorial of the episode before, you know?
Yeah, but it just bugs me that they'd bring her back to life.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, but clearly there's a reason why she's still around.
Maybe it's going to be, like, they're going to pull one over our eyes and they're going to try to bring her back and then she's not going to come back.
Or maybe, like, she's the key. Like, maybe she has to physically pull Katsia, like, through the veil or something like that to, like, you know what I mean?
I'm just imagining her hopping on one side of the Harry Potter veil and pulling Katsia in on the
she's
other
like,
side.
No, you get in here now! And Katsia's, like, kicking and screaming. That'd be really creepy.
Right? that would be really interesting. But, I mean, if Silas dies, theoretically, Silas wants to... He'd have to destroy the other side first in order to be with his one true love. And that's, like, part of his plan. Like, Bonnie thinks that Silas wants to completely destroy the other side, like, 100%. So,
well, yeah, he wants to destroy the... Now that he knows about the anchor, he wants to destroy that so that the other side is gone.
Exactly.
and then he can die as a witch or whatever, and he'll move on to whatever is beyond the other side, and you know, then he won't have to do it. But the thing that confuses me is if they get rid of the other side, then there's nowhere to pull Bonnie back from.
Exactly. So they'd have to like do they'd have to kill Silas while simultaneously destroying the other side and simultaneously flipping out Bonnie's life.
Now here's my whole question though, like what happens when they destroy the other side? Like is Bonnie trapped in this world as a ghost forever because she can't go back, or does she disappear into a puff of smoke? Yeah, exactly.
I figured it would be one of two things. Either she takes back her life, like she becomes a person again on the earth because the veil has been dropped or something beforehand, you know,
and then she needs a body. Like is her moldy body just gonna be like
oh my goodness. Well, I mean, Jeremy's body was burned up and he just came to life, like bam. Right.
Word. Right. Okay, fair enough. You guys,
or you had you had an or, Kristen,
can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay. Or
it cuts off every time you say
every
or.
Time or
it's like Skype doesn't want you to talk.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just say
or what I'm dying with anticipation here.
Or she like moves on entirely, like just everyone on the other side is then passed on to where they would have gone if the other side didn't exist.
And maybe that's what they do, and they pull the wool over our eyes and make us think that Bonnie's coming back, but then she moves on. I think that'd be... Yeah. I like that plan.
I think it could work.
Right? But the thing that bugs me about this entire plan, guys, is that there's another freaking moonstone. Like, I mean, okay, it's not a moonstone, but it's a mystical anchor that bounds the spell that created the other side. It might as well be a moonstone, and I was thinking, like, what if it's a bar of soap? Like, what if it's a bar of soap that's lasted thousands of years, just to be ironic for where Damon hit it the last time?
Well, I think we may have already seen it.
Oh, yes. That is, like, a perfect segue to like a comment that we got in one of the in the feedback, but someone thinks that it's the knife, right?
Yeah, I think it's a really really good theory. I had thought that kind of myself, like when they first mentioned this anchor thing, I was like, wait a minute, if it's a physical object that they move, it's got to be something we've seen, because there's no way that they won't have mentioned it. And then I thought about it and I was like, it's got to be this. And then I went into the comments and I saw somebody else have the same theory and I was like, it's got to be that.
No, I mean, why else would the traveler be traveling with it and telling Matt to like protect it with his life?
Right, exactly. Like why else is it that important? It's got to be that dagger.
Oh, man. And that's creative. I mean, that's better than a freaking moonstone, you know?
A random rock.
Right. But you know, what's interesting is just that in order like for all of this to happen, like Damon just has to make a deal with Silas, and I don't like that. But in the end, Damon talks to Silas because he's Damon, and Silas is like, well, okay, I'll do this, but you have to kill your brother. Did anyone else think that he actually meant like kill his brother, like stab him in the heart?
Yes, and I was very scared.
Oh my goodness. I was just like as soon as he said kill your brother, I'm like, well, no, that's not going to happen. Like, whatever. Like, Silas can think whatever he wants, but Damon's not going to kill Stefan. And then when he snapped his neck, I was like, oh, okay. So I guess that works.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, that kind of kill. All right, yeah, well, then.
Not like stake through the heart kind
exactly.
of kill.
Not like kill, but just kill. Kind of like how like it's not a crush. You don't like him. You just like him.
Yeah, but why couldn't you just say you need to knock him out? Like,
right?
But I guess it makes sense because like he has to be. I guess that's the closest a vampire can come to like being dead for a while. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
and Silas likes being melodramatic. He's like, you have to kill your brother.
Right.
God, it's stupid. But like, Damon's doing this to fight for Bonnie and to bring her back, but she doesn't even want to do it. Like, she's just like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, but Damon's also out for not really number one, but he's also like, I mean, I think he likes having the Bonnie factor. You know what I mean? Because Bonnie is like the quick and easy fix, which is something that like we as like people that watch a show hate because it's just like, oh, Bonnie's just gonna fix it, like mm-hmm. problem solved, you know what I mean? But
yeah. And he's probably doing it again for Elena and be like, oh, Elena, I love you, but like
that, yeah.
But, like, speaking of Delana, like, the fact that he's doing all this work and he's just not talking, and she's not talking to him because, like, she feels, like, guilty for having fun with him while Bonnie was dead. I'm like, come on, you didn't even give Delana a chance. Like, this, they're fully on the rocks right now, and I hate it.
They are not on the rocks. It's just that she's just pulling away because she's trying to distract herself, and thinking about Damon and talking to him all the time is just going to remind her that Bonnie's not there since he's the one who told her. Like, so I think it's just her kind of, you know, trying to push it away, push the thoughts about Bonnie away. I think they're just fine. Mm-hmm.
They probably are. She probably, like you said, just like needs some time to like grieve by herself. But I think like Damon is just like being a typical boy and overanalyzing it all because, you know, him and Katia, that whole conversation about how like doesn't matter if he's with her now, like she's like forever bound to Stefan, and like that's probably secretly eating away at him even though Elena's not even thinking about it, you know?
Right. Yeah, no. Aww, for sure.
Poor Damon.
I know, he just wants to be loved, you guys,
right? Dang it,
we will love you
as long as no one you. Like,
let us love you, Damon.
Just let us love you.
Let's all just like run and hug Ian. Ian.
Yeah, insert let me love you gif here.
Exactly, right? Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know, guys. It's just, I just want like a season full of Damon and Elena awesomeness before Elena inevitably goes up to Damon and she's like, it's always Stefan. It was always Stefan. I'm like, ugh. I don't want someone to make that choice for Damon again, because that just breaks his teeny, teeny heart.
If I even have to hear that line again, I'm going to be very mad.
Right?
Always Stefan. No.
No. Exactly.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all going to work out. I'm of the firm belief that this fate is, we're destining, you know, we're destined to be together because that's how it is. It just means even better things for Delana. I really do think, yeah, so.
You don't think they're going to, like, go that route because now they have to. You're going to think they're going to, like, try to break fate and, like, do whatever they want.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's up in the air. You never know. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen between now and then, but
I mean, like, if Stefan never gets his memory back, technically, he can fall in love with someone else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm holding out hope, but I mean, there's still hope for Stelina shippers too.
You know, like, and that just like, that bugs me. Like talking about Stefan and his memory, when he got killed by Damon and like Silas got his power back and he can read minds and he can read Ketsia's mind and all that stuff. Like, it's just like, Stefan doesn't get his memories back. He's just like, oh, whatever. I still don't know anything. I feel like that's not fair. And for a second, I thought when he killed Stefan, it was a permanent change, and like Silas had his powers back forever. But apparently not. I feel like, did anyone else think that it was going to be permanent? No. Am I the only one
that his powers were like taken away forever?
No, that that Silas's powers were returned forever.
Yeah, once, no, I totally
Stefan died.
Oh yeah, I totally did because I didn't like. I don't know. I kind of didn't get that whole thing, but then I guess it kind of made sense that once, you know, Stefan came to, that, you know, Silas wouldn't have the power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense in like the grand scheme of things, but they did like, just because it was so dramatic with the whole, like, you have to kill your brother. Like, it did kind of sound like it was going to be transferred forever, but that probably wouldn't have made things way too easy. So,
yeah. And you know, what's funny is that Ketia can't like tell who is Stefan and who is Silas. Like, I found that to be a little ridiculous. Like, you'd think the most powerful witch ever would be able to tell that Silas is,
yeah, like, even her. Damon can tell the difference between Catherine and Elena, even when Catherine's, like, trying to trick him, you know what,
right?
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and even Damon can tell the difference between Stefan and Silas.
It's like, did you really love him? Really? I mean, she's, like, the epitome of stage 5 clinger, you guys. Like, it's kind of sad.
It's She's totally in love with Silas, though, and I just want her to,
she
like,
really is. I did feel bad for her, though, when she, like, realizes she had confessed, like, her, she had confessed that she'd pretty much been waiting, like, 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, nice to know you still love me. She was just, like, her face.
Oh, poor, I know. I felt
so bad for her, like.
Poor Tessa. I can't call her Tessa. It has to be Kezia. Like.
Yeah, it's because we spent a whole season with people being like, Kezia.
I like the way it sounds like you're whispering it, so like now whenever I say it, I just have to be go Kezia.
Yeah. In my head, you know, that's how it went down.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And well, at least Kezia's travelers are like, you know, helping her out and keeping the other side, the knife that bonds the other side, you know, traveling. When she talked about that and she was like, oh no, I don't know where it is, only travelers know. Like, that's why Nadia is in the show. But I didn't, like, Nadia wasn't a traveler. It was the boy that she was with who was a traveler, right?
I think Nadia is a traveler too.
Are travelers not witches then? Because Nadia is a vampire.
I have no idea. I really thought Nadia was, like, of the travelers. Like, I don't necessarily think that, like, maybe there are witches, but I always kind of thought of the travelers as, like, a group. Like the council. Like, it's not like they all have the same abilities, but, like, they're of the same order, so they're all working to protect something.
You see, that makes sense. Oh, kind of like how... All right, that makes sense. Kind of like the hunters, maybe?
Yeah, like, it's kind of a weird name for them, but that's kind of how I thought about it. It may be a term for, like, her buddy Gregoire, or whatever his name is. The guy who likes to inhabit Matt's body. It might be, like, a term for his type of, like, witch or whatever, but I thought of it as, like, their group that's protecting this, you know, anchor thing.
That makes sense. Yeah, I like that. I like that travelers can be anything. It's so diverse. Yay.
Who knows if that's what it really is. I mean, right? I'm sure we'll get an actual definition for the travelers soon.
Oh,
but
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Vampire Diaries has a tendency to, like, explain things and, like, not explain things at the same time. So, like, we're left with, like, the switch and, like, freaking sire bonds and travelers that were just like, I don't understand this. But, you know, I don't know. One thing we do understand is the fact that Dr. Max Fields is a bitch, and he's just like, well, Elena, there are people watching you, and you have to leave, so get going. Which we also predicted. Like, we didn't just predict the whole Catherine, Nadia, mother-daughter thing, but I think we totally predicted that people were watching her at the school. But I don't know if that's really a big thing. I think a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a given, like, with the whole Megan thing, and just, it seemed like something wasn't quite right. So either somebody's watching her, or someone knew something about her.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, so it didn't surprise me that he said, you know, people are watching you.
Do you think Aaron knows about vampires because of what his legal guardian is up to?
I think he's in the know. I don't know.
He is, too.
I don't know how far, but I think he knows more than, like, a typical kid at Whitmore would know.
Yeah, I would really love for him to know about vampires and just kind of, like, confront... Like, what if... Oh, my goodness. What if Dr. Maxfield is, like, the evil guy, human, who knows about vampires and wants to, like, eliminate Elena and Caroline, and, like, Aaron is, like, the good guy who, like, falls in love with Elena despite her being a vampire, and he wants to help her out. And so it's like, there's going to be a bad Maxfield and a good Maxfield. Like, I can totally see that happening.
Like, that's very Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
Except they're two different people and not the same person.
Yeah, but I think that would be pretty sick if Aaron's kind of, like, fighting Dr. Maxfield, and, like, Dr. Maxfield kind of, like,
maybe
hates
he'll
it.
Like, maybe, like, Dr. Maxfield's, like, crazy, psychotic testing things will, like, come out, and then Aaron will be like, no, this is wrong, and, like, you know.
Yes! Oh my goodness, that'd be hysterical. That'd be awesome. Well, at least I don't know. That's just a little confusing. But let's talk about Ketia for a second. She found her talisman, which is awesome. Her talisman was hidden in one of the like cases at the party, and I'm like, does something always have to happen at a dance? Like, really? Like, it's college. Can we get over this whole like random crap happening at a party?
Yeah, there are no dances in college. Like, everybody goes to frat parties. They should have been frat parties now.
And then even like even at a frat party, stuff happens.
Right.
It's like if you want to go to Mystic Falls, don't go to any of the community parties because otherwise you're just gonna get killed.
Death follows their parties, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and that just reminded me of when Aaron was like, death follows me around. Everyone I know dies. Which is just another foreshadowing thing to the fact that I think he knew Elena's parents. Just saying. Like, I really think Aaron knew her parents.
I wouldn't be surprised if he knew her parents because of the whole Megan connection, and we already know Megan knew them somehow. But, I mean, yeah, it's definitely hinting at some sort of parallel between him and Elena. And that's kind of interesting. I mean, I kind of want him to stay uninvolved. Like, I don't want him to get too close to Elena because I feel like then it's going to be a little more predictable that he's not going to be around. Like, you know, people who get close to Elena who aren't named Stefan or Damon are kind of in danger. So I'm kind of hoping that he keeps his distance a little bit, kind of like he has been, and that we'll get more, like, attachments between him and, like, maybe Caroline or somebody else, and maybe Jesse, that we'll get to see him interacting with the other people, too.
Oh, that would be awesome if he interacted with, like, someone else. I agree. So, next up on the dock is, okay, Catherine kind of shows up to the Salvatore Manor after, like, all the drama happens at the party, and I guess, like, she's not trapped anymore, and she, and Damon attempts to feed Catherine to Silas, which, I mean, she had coming for feeding Jeremy to Silas, like, let's be frank, but we think she's dead, and apparently not. Her heart is still beating, despite, okay, I have a couple of questions. One, did she get all of her blood sucked out? Because in the preview, Silas has the cure, or Silas has been cured, so theoretically all of her blood must be gone, or despite the blood that's on the floor. Two, if she's alive, does that mean she's a vampire now? Like, what?
I think we're meant to question that. Like, we're not supposed to know what she is right now, and that's kind of fun. I think she's probably a vampire. My guess is that genius Catherine found out about the whole cure thing and said, I'm going to make sure to keep vampire blood in my system because she's Catherine and she wants to survive. And if somebody's trying to kill her, her best bet is to drink vampire blood so that if something happens, she's got it in her system and she'll come back.
Oh, that's a good move.
Catherine's not stupid.
No.
So that's kind of what I assumed happened, and that she'll be a vampire now. But I still... did anybody else's heart stop? Like, as
oh, yes.
She falls to the floor dead, I'm like,
yes.
Is Catherine really gone?
Like, I'm like, yeah. No!
I believed
like
it.
She's finally getting to a point where she could maybe redeem herself, and then it's like, they're going to kill her off now?
Right. Exactly. Oh my goodness.
I like my jaw dropped, and then her heart starts to beat, and Damon says, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. Like, ugh, she's not
but
dead.
I love that Elena was like, is she?
Oh my God. Elena's like, God damn
Damon's
it.
Damon's just like, not surprised.
Like, damn it, Catherine, you're supposed to be dead. Stop it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Damon too is just like, well, I've been like running after and running away from her for like X hundred years. Like, figure she wouldn't leave me alone now.
Like, it would just be too good to be true if Catherine just stayed dead. Like, it's not gonna happen.
Oh my goodness. How
Damon feels.
Oh, that's, I love that. I love the show's so good, guys. Just, it's amazing. So let's talk about Catherine's storyline for a second, since like we basically talked about Elena's, like Catherine's storyline. She talked in the beginning. Nadia's keeping her captive, and she finds out that yes, indeed, Silas needs every last drop of her blood to be a human, or to get cured, which we totally predicted that too. Like, I don't know if I remember how obvious that one was, but like, depending on how obvious our predictions are, like, we get kudos points. But I feel like we get pretty good kudos points for predicting that low plot line. So, and what's interesting is that Nadia had been tailing Catherine for 500 years. And at first I was like, wait, are travelers immortal? Have we, like, established that travelers are immortal? Are, like, they gypsies or something? But no, she's a vampire. She's been sired to hunt down Catherine. She's been, like, track her and, until she found her. And apparently, Nadia is Catherine's daughter, which was interesting. I feel like, I don't know.
I totally didn't see this coming.
No, come on, we talked about it.
I know, but I still, even knowing that we had this discussion and people thought it was her, I still was surprised by it because I really didn't think it was. Like, I agreed that, yeah, you know, it could have been, or, you know, it might turn out to be, but I was still kind of surprised in the moment. Like, I just kind of like, wow, like, that's a really cool twist, and I'm glad they're bringing it in, because I think it's a really interesting thing for Catherine to have to deal with.
It's like, as we've seen with Klaus on the originals, like, the real point of redemption comes when you have, like, a family to care for, and Catherine didn't have one, so now that she has one, we'll be able to see her kind of, like, bond with her daughter, despite stabbing her in the middle of a diner where, like, no one screamed. Like, that was a little crazy, but, like, after she found out that Nadia's her daughter, she was like, I went back and I looked for you and I couldn't find you and I wondered where you went. I thought that was adorable. And that's, like, the perfect way to get people to like Catherine. I don't know who doesn't like Catherine, but it just makes sense.
I think I'm most interested to find out if Nadia will be the one person that Catherine is not willing to sacrifice to save herself. Like, at this point, we've seen her, we've seen Catherine try to sacrifice just about everyone else to save her own hide. Like, she will do whatever she can. But I think it would be the ultimate redeeming factor for her is if Nadia is the one person she can't allow to be sacrificed to save her.
I agree, like, wholeheartedly. That would be amazing. Like, just, and then that actually brings me to, like, my last question about, like, the whole Catherine thing is do you guys think that they're going to be, like, a mother-daughter, like, bonding kick-ass team, or do you think they're going to be, like, a dysfunctional, oh, I want to kill you, I hate my family, you deserve to die, like, pair? Like, it can go either way at this point. Like, I'm thinking that they're going to try to bond together, because Catherine left. Like, she wasn't captive anymore. She went to the Salvatore mansion. So I assume that Nadia's like, oh, it's okay. You can go. It's fine. Like,
yeah, I definitely don't think we've seen the last of them. And I'd like to see Nadia and Catherine be kind of buddy-buddy. Like, I'd like, it seems like they ended on good terms so far. So, you know, I'd like to see it stay that way, not the dysfunctional, you know, you killed yourself and blah, 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 turned into a vampire. How dare you? You know, like, I'd like to see it kind of be like a bonding thing for both of them.
I think it'll be interesting, too, because, like, I mean, Catherine is, like, really, it would be interesting to see her in a sort of maternal role, you know, because it's, like, so unlike anything that she's ever been or done. She's so used to just looking out for number one. You know what I mean? So it's like,
definitely, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it'll be interesting to see how they play along with that, and, like, if she changes, or if she just, like, doesn't care, like, you know, not that Nadia is, like, looking for, like, maternal guidance, but
yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if Catherine, like, just, you know, if she goes with it or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and we know, like, I know we talked about this hella long ago, and we've kind of established that Catherine's, emotional switch was on when she was doing all those terrible things, because, like, she talked about all the terrible things that she's done with, like, no remorse. I'm like, okay, that's definitely Catherine, not emotionless Catherine. But I feel like Nadia is the only person to get her to have emotions again, and not that her switch is off, but, like, Nadia is the only person to get Catherine to change at all. I agree with that. Now, I think that was my last point. Was there anything about that whole Catherine Nadia thing that just like you wanted to talk about or like confuse you, or can we move on to bashing Tyler now?
Let's move on to Tyler.
Oh my goodness. So the thing that irks me the most is when the episode opens and Caroline is like back with Tyler in bed. I'm like, why? Like, and he's like, oh, I thought I did make up for it. Like, bitch, it's like it's that easy. Like, Jesus. But apparently it's that easy for Caroline to just be like, it's okay, let's have sex. Like, what? Did anyone else get irritated by that, or just me?
He's her first, like, real true love. Like, she dated around, but she loves Tyler. So, no, I'm not surprised that she just forgave him. Because, I mean, while she was irritated with him and pissed that he wasn't, like, answering her calls and wasn't, you know, at Whitmore with her like she wanted, she knew why he was gone. It wasn't like he was off, you know, having another girlfriend or something crazy like that. So, you know, like, I was okay with it. I think Caroline can do better than how he's treating her, for sure.
Yeah, I'm totally right there with you, Kristen, because I think it's, like, very believable for, like, not only for the person that Caroline is, but also for, like, the age that she is to just forgive so easily, because it's, like, you know, like, when you break up with somebody and, like, it's, like, you're really in love with them and then you're just like, no, wait, I changed my mind. Like, let's go back and let's fix it. And, like, sometimes you just fall back into that relationship. I think she was just really kind of hoping that that's how it would happen. And they didn't even break up. Like, he was just gone because he needed to be. I mean, like, clearly, like, does, like, I don't know, unless, like, he comes back and there's, like, this big redemption scene for his character as far as Caroline is concerned, like, she really does, like, he doesn't deserve her at all.
His excuses were just, like, so weak. I was in the land of, like, with no cell phone reception. It's like, there are landlines there, dude. You could have picked up a damn landline and called her or something, like...
Yeah, but do you, like, you know everybody's phone number? I'm just, like, being advocate here. But, like...
I mean, and it's good that you're being doing that, because I'm sure there are a couple of listeners who, like, love Tyler to death, but, like, I don't know. It just bugs me. They do look adorable as Bonnie and Clyde, though. I'm not going to lie. Like, that was cute. But it stopped being cute when Tyler decided to, like, tell her at the frickin', like, dance that he came to say goodbye. Like, Julie Plec is, I swear, she's intending everyone to hate Tyler, because I just don't, like, I don't get it. Because literally everything his character has done has just been terrible. Like, breaking up with her, or, like, telling her all this bad news while they're in the middle of a dance and she's trying to have fun. Like, dude, that's not how you do it. But that does mean that he might be on the originals, so, I mean, that's not thrilling.
He will be.
Oh, don't want
to. Michael Trevino confirmed earlier this week that we will be seeing Tyler on the originals. So,
because he wants to get back at Klaus?
Well, we don't know when and we don't know how yet, but Tyler will be appearing there. Yeah, he wants revenge. He's pissed at Klaus, and I don't blame him, but I think that's going to be like the initial thing that gets him there, but I'm sure once he gets there, there will be other things that take priority.
I hope Klaus kills him. Like, he stands no chance against Klaus. Like, come on.
Yeah, but at least he'll have Haley, because they're friends.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I don't trust him with any girl, because he doesn't know how to have a relationship, clearly. Like, he's made Caroline cry, like, 3 times in the show.
I know.
Ugh. And we all love Caroline.
I did love her line, though.
Which line?
Her, love me more than you hate him. Like,
aww.
The minute she said it, I was just like, yes, yes, exactly that. Like, come on. And then he's like, no, and he just kind of like walks out. And I was like, okay. And yeah, now I'm pissed.
I feel like at this point, Caroline, for most viewers, is like that best friend that's in this relationship that you don't approve of, but like you're going to like just let her do it because you care about her and you're not going to let her like... You just, like, you know that she'll learn eventually. And then when they break up, you're like, see, I told you. And we hate that guy together now. And so now everyone hates Tyler because he broke up with her. And, like, Caroline's our bestie that we're just going to help get through this.
Yeah, but it's always so hard because, like, you have to wait for that person to, like, you know, start hating on that Exactly. You know, whoever yeah. dumps or whoever dumps them. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. we need to be a supportive friend for now, and then as soon as Caroline realizes what a jerk he is, we can all be like, oh, that Tyler man, right? He's just so lame. We never liked him.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, clearly we're best friends with Caroline. Oh, that was great. So let's do favorite quotes real quick before we get onto the originals. My favorite quote was by Damon, and it was, ah, guilt. Don't know it, but I heard it could be a real bitch. Like, it's so perfect. He's amazing. He wouldn't know guilt. That ass.
Yeah, no, that's pure Damon. It's just perfect. One of my favorites was Catherine's line, don't piss off the diabolical ones.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just, it's so, like, it's like Catherine's entire existence in one quote. Like, that's her go-to. It's like, don't piss off the diabolical ones. Basically, if you do, have an exit plan. Like, because that's how she's managed to not, like, die.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then my favorite is, why do you suck so badly at killing yourself? It's just very quintessential snarky Damon. Always fun when that comes out on the episode.
Damon's quotes are the best. I love it.
Yes, totally okay. agreed.
So let's move on to the originals. This talking point for the originals is less organized by character and just via how the episode went, because it was all kind of a conclusive, kind of background-ish episode, more than a this happened and then this happened. So let's do the recap. And Pam, can you read the recap for us? Do you have the doc, right?
I do, sure.
Perfect.
This episode gives us a history of what happened 8 months ago, what happened with Davina, and why she's under the protection of Marcel. We learn about the harvest ritual, where four witches are killed every 300 years, and of course, Davina was supposed to be one of them. Less of an action episode and more of a foundation for the rest of the season. Sinners and Saints gives us the information we've always wanted.
So let's just dive into it real quick, with the episode starting with Elijah and Davina doing the creepiest, like, blood-sharing scene ever. Like, Elijah's being a gentleman. Did anyone else think
it was
that
almost a little too sensual, actually. Right? Which
that's literally what I was thinking. I'm like, that's a little, yeah. like, oh, I don't...
Like, is this a new, like, fandom kink here?
Right? Is this a ship that I'm not supposed to be shipping? Like, what's going
on? It had something to do with it being so slowly. Like, just... Like, if it would have been at normal speed, it wouldn't have been as weird. But it was just like, this is awkward.
Just really weird. And she had, like, that fancy dagger and, like...
And he's, like, looking at her with his, like, lips open. And I'm like, Elijah, yes. She's 16. Stop it.
She's, like, trying but failing to do, like, the perma smolder a la Ian Somerhalder. It just is not working.
It's just, honey, no.
Exactly.
Can't stop.
She tried.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad Elijah's back and, like, he has his color back, because he was looking a little creepy as that gray thing, but, oh, that was just creepy. So, like, after that, we kind of find out that the witches who attacked Haley were extremist witches, which is interesting, and I feel like that might be a thing for the rest of the season, unless that was just, like, a throwaway thing, but I think, like, maybe this extremist group is going to be something out of the book of, like, the Da Vinci Code or something, where they always have, like, these extremist religion groups and they do something massive to, like, prevent something from happening. So I thought that was interesting. Like, they were only mentioned twice in this episode, which makes me think that maybe they're not a big deal. But do you guys think that that might be something, or is that just, like, a, oh, let's just blame this on those people?
Well, I think it's they're trying to give us, like, a natural division in the witch population as well. Like, they're not a united front. Like, the witches that get their powers from ancestral magic clearly want, you know, their own set of things. And then there's this extremist group that lives out in the bayou, and they want their own, you know, things to happen. So I think it's just to kind of give a little division so that it's not all just one giant group of witches all trying to get the same thing done. And I think it'll probably, you know, cause some chaos coming up here.
Yeah, Jesus, I don't know. I like the two. I like the division. It makes the witch thing more interesting as opposed to just being like vampires and demons. Like it's vampires. Did I say demons? I mean witches. Vampires and witches, and then evil witches.
Like, it also kind of like I don't know. Like Marcel for a while is just like it almost like they, and I feel like they love to do this. It almost humanizes him. You know what I mean? Because like he stepped in to stop something that was, you know, not right. Like he's still like a psychopath and he still has like way too much control over New Orleans, but like in this one sense, like, you know, he did do good, you know.
Yeah, they're still making him look better than Klaus.
Exactly. But they did this with Klaus too, you know, like with the whole Caroline thing. I feel like it's just so interesting the way that they choose to do their villains, because like they always like each one of them always has like one redeeming quality, you know. It's like sometimes you have to see it, but it's like, you know, so
no, yeah,
I don't know. It's intriguing because even like going back to the Vampire Diaries, like Silas is like he really like only wanted to be immortal with his one true love, you know. So he's just grumpy because it screwed him over. So
it's, man, true love, you know, can make you a real crap bitch.
He's done. Yeah. Anyway, but going back to New Orleans and the originals.
Oh my goodness. No. So yeah, it was interesting, and I think what's more interesting is the fact that Haley's the witch that saw like the vision about Haley's baby said that the baby will bring death upon all witches, and Sophie's just like, but it's open to interpretation. I'm like, how open is that? Like, death to like what? Like all like brunette witches? How open is that to interpretation, really?
Well, I think what she meant was that I think the witch's name was Sabine. Is that it? I think,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, Sabine.
That Sabine like is kind of we use the word extremist, but like she's kind of like cuckoo, and like when she interprets things, she like takes it dramatically one way or another. So like maybe it will cause a death or something, like just one, not necessarily all of them, but you know, with the events of the episode, it does make sense that, you know, it could be the death of like witchcraft rather than witches.
I think it would be really interesting if they all lost their magic. Like that'd just be, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like they haven't, like their ancestral magic is so weird and unique. So I don't know. But yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about how 8 months ago, Sophie was this crazy wild child, like drinking alcohol. She was like my girl, like my homegirl. And apparently, there are elders amongst the witches who decide that it's time for the harvest. So the harvest happens every 300 years to help them with their ancestral magic and kind of keep it restored, appease their ancestors, blah, blah, blah. And there's like another flashback, and it looked like it was 300 years ago, but then Sophie Devereaux comes from out of nowhere, like, hey, you need to stop this. I'm like, oh, okay. So that wasn't like the beginning of the harvest. That was just like 8 months ago. Did anyone else think that was like 300 years ago?
Or no.
Yeah, I actually had to rewatch that like twice, but that also might have been because I wasn't paying attention. You know what I mean? Because I just saw, well, the costumes and I got a little confused and I had to go back.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
It totally looks like it was 300 years ago. Like, you don't think so?
Maybe I just assumed that Davina was there, but like I didn't think anything of it. Like I just assumed it was, you know.
You see, I didn't like, see Davina
before. Whatever.
I didn't see Davina until after like they introduced that scene. So I don't know.
I think it was also a little confusing because you had what's her name? I just completely blanked. She's brunette and she's got the gap in her teeth and she's got the tattoos and she's the witch.
Sophie,
yeah. I always call her like Piper or something.
This isn't Charmed, okay?
I know, but she kind of reminds me of Piper from Charmed. Anyway, since she was going back and like doing her whole little flashback, it kind of feels like, I don't know, like for some reason, like Davina just seems so young to be included in that. So I think that might be why, like, you were a little confused and I was a little confused too. Cause like, you know, she's talking about her like wild 70 years or whatever. Like,
exactly.
So I totally feel you though.
So, okay. Kristen, since you seem to like understand everything much better than I do, maybe you can tell me what's going on. I'm going to flat out say that I did not understand the side plot between Marcel and Klaus going to the bayou to see who did the damage. Like, they wanted to, like, so what I understand from it, and let's just talk about that whole side plot for a second. So Marcel and Klaus were supposed to go to the bayou to see who killed these people and see where the werewolf's happening, but instead they stayed at a bar to stall each other.
Well, yeah, like, I think Marcel's informant had told him about what had happened. So I think Marcel and Klaus were going out there to see what had happened. Like, to get the, you know, to take a look at it and see the scene, because they're suspecting, you know, werewolf involvement. So because of that, they're supposed to go out there. Well, Klaus needs to delay Marcel getting out there because he finds out that Rebecca and Haley and Sophie are making a trip out there. And so, you know, I think it's just supposed to be like a Klaus says, is it really that urgent? They're already dead. Like, let's just get a drink. And so they kind of sit down, have a drink, and like delay the situation.
Meanwhile, Marcel's like stalling Klaus to get ready to get Davina ready for export.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a twofer. Like, Marcel was trying to, I think the bayou was also kind of a ruse to get Klaus away so that they could prep Davina's move. And see, so I don't think Marcel cared as long as Klaus was, like, you know, occupied.
That made more sense. I was just slightly confused. I'm sure listeners would be like, oh, Kyle, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, sorry. But no. And Sophie needed to, like, bury or properly dispose of the witch's bodies unless they, because otherwise they lose a link to their magic, which is weird. I don't like ancestral magic, guys. I just don't. Like, it's too, they're too dependent on staying in the same place. And I feel like if they lost all their magic, maybe they can find a way to get it back and it won't be ancestral. I don't know. That's just my theory. Side note, when will we see Klaus turn into a werewolf? We haven't seen it in Vampire Diaries and we haven't seen it in Originals. Do you think he's even going to turn into a werewolf? I mean, he's a freaking hybrid. No one.
I'm not sure. I mean, like, I kind of, like, for some reason, I think in my head, I've always thought that because he's a hybrid, like, he wouldn't really turn into a werewolf. You know what I mean? Like,
because like it, is it because possess... it's painful?
Yeah, I guess. No, I think it's just more like I kind of figured, like, that he would just have all the powers of, but, like, it, like the transformation part would cancel itself out. I don't know.
Because the way I understood it, a hybrid can turn into a werewolf whenever the heck they want.
Yeah, but he's also, like, the hybrid of hybrids. So it's, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, he's an original and a hybrid. So, it's
your
like,
theory is that he's not going to turn into a werewolf at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, I could be probably dead wrong. I'm sure listeners are like, Pam, you're stupid. But, like, of course he's going to turn into a werewolf. But, yeah, I think my theory is that we probably won't see it. But, you know, again, I'll probably be wrong.
I was just thinking about it. I'm like,
but I think Kristen might have, like, a different take on this.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of confused as to why Marcel doesn't really hate the fact that Klaus could be a werewolf. Like, because he's all about, you know, he drove the werewolves out and he doesn't like them. So, you know, I'm sure Klaus could cause some major issues if he started, you know, randomly turning and, you know, killing people, killing vampires, whatever. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll only see it if it works to make more chaos for Marcel. I don't think we'll see it unless it's, like, necessary.
Well, because it's really interesting because no one seems to think that any of the werewolf attacks are, like, Marcel. Or, like, Marcel doesn't think, or Klaus, rather. And so it would be so interesting if Klaus decides to attack witches, or not witches, vampires, while being a werewolf. So Marcel has no idea it's actually him. And he can kind of, like, do this double attack type thing where it's kind of like he's making Marcel go on a wild goose chase. If he makes Marcel think that there are werewolves in town and there aren't, and it's really just Klaus, that can go a whole different way. Like, I feel like that would be really interesting. Did that make sense at all?
No, I would think that that could be a really cool, like, you know, plot that we don't see and that we learn about later, but we've seen wolves around Haley.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's the only thing that makes me think that it is an external force. It's not just Klaus, you know, causing mischief, because there's, you know, this whole wolf thing with Haley is definitely something else. So
there's a theory that like a user comment thinks that the wolf might be Tyler, and we'll find out that it's Tyler like at some point. But don't these two Vampire Diaries and Originals have the same running timeline? Like, while something's happening in Vampire Diaries, at the same time something's happening in the Originals?
I think so. I mean, we haven't had any major parallels where we've seen that, like, match up or anything. But he's been gone for a long time. Who's to say he's not in wasn't in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That'd be really interesting. I just don't want Tyler in there at all.
I know.
Oh, God. I'm sorry if anyone likes Tyler and they hate that I'm hating on them. I apologize. So
I think the problem is, though, is that, like, Klaus and Caroline are so much cuter.
I know, right? Right? They really like, are.
Tyler, just go away. But go on.
So, okay. So let's just talk about... let's talk about everything that happened 8 months ago, like, just as a whole, so we can kind of get this conversation, like, on a decent track rather than going back and forth. 8 months ago, apparently Marcus was sleeping with Sophie, which is interesting, because everyone, like, had, like, relationships with, like, vampires and witches, and wasn't a big deal, and, like, they had the thing with the humans, and, like, the priest is, like, the delegate for the humans, and... the witches are, like, Agnes and Sophie and Jane Anne, and then there's Marcel, who controls, like, the vampires. So, that was really interesting. And they meet up in this church to figure out what's going to happen, because Sophie told Marcel about the harvest, and Marcel doesn't want it to happen. And no one else, or Sophie doesn't want it to happen, but Agnes and Jane Anne do want it to happen. And, of course, the priest is like, well, no, this can't happen. And so they're trying to talk to each other. And for some reason, Agnes puts a hex on Sean, Cammy's brother, to make it seem like he was losing his mind so that he would eventually kill everyone and then himself. Does anyone else wonder why Agnes is even still in the little clique if she's caused so much drama?
Well, my guess as to why she did the thing with Cammy's brother was to get back at the priest for meddling in witch affairs.
Yeah, because he thinks that, like, he can stop them.
Well, yeah, because he, you know, was all against this harvest thing where there were no humans involved. It wasn't like they collected human sacrifices or something. Like, these were girls within the witch community. So, yeah, like, the harvest is creepy and weird. Like, trust me, I'm not, like, defending the harvest. But this, you know, this priest guy just decides that he has the right to say this can't happen when he's supposed to be representing the humans and there aren't any humans involved. So I think that's why Agnes did the thing with Cammy's brother, was to kind of punish him and say, you know, mind your business.
Yeah, because, and let's not forget that Cammy and her brother are related to the priest, like, he's their uncle. So he would hope... she was kind of, like, making sure that he would be busy off dealing with... oh, that's what she did. They did it so he would be off dealing with Sean, kind of making sure that he's okay and not really interfering with the harvest. Kind of, like, to distract him a little bit. But I don't know. I feel like Agnes needs to go. Because she's a bitch. Like, she called the witches on Haley, and she's just... I feel like, how do you still trust her? I don't get it. That's my major thing, is I don't get how anyone trusts Agnes, but that's a mini rant. So at the harvest, it happens, and the way the harvest works is that they tell these girls that they're just going to get their palms cut with this magical knife, they'll fall asleep, and then when the reaping happens, where they will wake up and be reborn, and what's actually happening is that they're getting their throats cut. They're sending their magic into the next girl. She gets her throat cut until the last girl dies. The magic gets set into the earth. The ancestors are appeased by the magic. They do the reaping. The ancestors give their magic back and revive the witches. which was really complicated, like really complicated. And so what happens is that they kill the three girls, and one of them is Jane Anne's niece, a.k.a. Or Jane Anne's daughter, a.k.a. Sophie's niece. And it just amazes me that all these people are willing to lie to these four girls and just be like, nope, you're dead.
Also, no, you know what the best part is that, like, Davina's mom was like, oh, it's a great honor. You know what I mean? It's
yes! Like, Davina's mom. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I agree. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's all good. That was all I had to say. Like, all these mothers are like, oh, yes, like, this is, you know, the best thing you could ever do. And it's like they know they're sending their kids off to be slaughtered.
Exactly.
Like, they have to know.
And I guess that it's probably because they have these faith that they'll, like, come back from the dead. And so that's another thing is, like, if they actually believe / they actually know that these witches are going to come back from the dead, my temporary thinking is, okay, so what if Davina dies and then she gets brought back to life? Like, it's a temporary death. You know what I mean?
Like, I think Davina is pretty much against the principle of it now.
Yeah.
Like, whether or not, she doesn't believe that they're going to come back because they've already lied to her once, and she doesn't think that they're necessarily telling her the truth, and she thinks they're all just going to die. And B, no matter what, whether, you know, whether she would die or not for good, she just wants to kind of stick it to him now because they told her they were just going to get their palms cut, they were going to go to sleep, and then they'd wake up again. Instead, she watched three of her best friends die. Like, that's kind of extreme. Like, I can kind of see her point.
No, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean, at least now we know why she has so much magic. It's because the magic goes from one girl to the next to the next. And then Davina is supposed to die, but then Marcel intervened, started, like, killing off, which is, like, crazy. And now Davina has all this magic, and that's when Marcel kind of, like, kidnapped her to keep her away in this little poor thing. Like, I love that they tied that up, and it made so much sense. Because I remember last week we were discussing all of this, like, I don't get it. Like, is she, like, her, like, daughter? Like, what's going on? And, like, people were yelling at us because we posted our episode, like, a week late, and now it makes sense. But you see, here's my problem, is Davina has all this magic. Like, why can't she just straight up kill everyone who wants to do the reaping, like, from her attic, like, from her bed, like, just as she's laying down at night, and be like, no, you're dead. What's keeping her from acting on this?
Well, I think probably she would Marcel. Rather, well, and I think she'd rather see them powerless than dead.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yes,
I think it would be ultimate revenge to, like, see them have to live without their magic.
That's true. Because if she doesn't, if...
Also,
yeah?
I was going to say, I'm sure she's also scared of what they could do to her if she leaves. Because she knows, like, everybody's vying for, like, how all the power that she has. So it's like, she would really have to, like, pick her time very, like, well. You know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. like, if she doesn't succeed, like, they'll find her. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that makes... I do like her plan, though. Like I said earlier, I think that if she can just survive until the reaping... Because if they don't get into the reaping, or if they don't kill her before the reaping, then everyone loses their magic, like, their link to magic. And now, which brings me to one question. I think it's, like, the question of the day. When they kind of talked about how Sophie wants Davina dead... And now, kind of, Davina's on more of a protagonist type of view. Did they make Sophie Devereaux the antagonist of the episode or of the series with wanting to kill her?
Well, and this is, I liked this episode a lot because it just answered so many questions. It kind of just explains that Sophie, yeah, is kind of an antagonist because, yes, her motives are sound and it makes sense, but now rather than being on Team Original, they're kind of, you know, worried about what Sophie's motives are as well, because they thought she just wanted to protect the baby, but no, her ultimate motive is to, you know, bring back her niece and you know, kill Davina temporarily so that her niece comes back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so she played them all. Like, she played the main protagonists.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely an antagonist now. She was kind of before, but, I mean, yeah, she is now, too.
I feel like before, like, you were kind of feeling for her, because, like, I don't know, I for some reason thought that she was, like, a protagonist, and she was, like, the good girl that was, like, trying to help him out and, like, get what she wants, but ultimately, like, I don't know. And now she's definitely evil, which is interesting. Like, you don't know who you're going to be rooting for with the originals. It's crazy. And so, as a final point, talking point for the originals, let's just talk about Elijah for a second, because I wanted to save him for last, because we're just, I mean, Elijah. Like, how can we not fangirl about Elijah? He's really good at talking and convincing people. So he has this, like, talk with Davina the entire time that this is going on. Like, he's learning the backstory, and Klaus is learning the backstory from Marcel, and Elijah offers Davina a deal. Release him, and he'll help her to learn to control the magic, protect her from the witches that want to kill her, and kind of give her his mother's grimoire that kind of will let her be able to control this so it's not affecting her so much. And I love that she sided with him, just because this means that, one, we get more Davina, and two, Marcel might just actually not have a chance anymore without Davina. Like, do you think that Davina would be willing to fight against Marcel, though? Like, that's the big question here. Like, they have her on her side. She ran away with them. But is she going to do anything against Marcel?
Well, see, the thing that doesn't really make all that much sense to me is that, yes, Davina has all of this power right now. But as soon as the reaping's done, as soon as that time comes and she hasn't been killed, all of that power is gone. So then it's like Davina's like useless, basically. Like, I mean, her, you know, role as a pawn in this scheme thing is done. So I don't know, like, why she is such the ultimate pawn between Marcel and Klaus.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Like, it's. That still kind of gets me. Like, I understand that her power now is really useful, but pretty soon she's going to either die and then they'll be in real trouble, or she'll lose her power and then she's kind of,
it's kind
just
of
normal.
I just thought of the weirdest analogy. It's like they're both kind of fighting for milk that's about to expire in a day that neither of them will have the opportunity to drink it beforehand. Like, they're both like, I don't know, that made no sense, but, like, I'm just imagining, like, it expires tomorrow, and they're both fighting for it, but neither of them will be able to drink it until, like, the day after. So it's, like, completely pointless.
I mean, I guess they're just bargaining right now to keep her safe, you know, until they can decide what to do with her or whatever, but, yeah, I'm still piecing things together. I mean, we got a lot of answers this episode, but there's still things that are kind of up in the air.
Well, see, makes my theory, or I don't know, like, not my theory, but, like, since I want them to lose their magic, I'm thinking, I totally think they're all going to lose their magic, and Davina is still going to have hers because she's so powerful, or they just find out a new way to get this magic back, and then Sophie Devereaux is just going to be the complete antagonist, and maybe, like, for this season, because the series is probably going to be about Marcel and Klaus fighting it off, but this season could possibly be Marcel and Klaus banding together to fight against Sophie Devereaux and the witches to keep them from killing Davina. But that's just crack theory. Did I miss any important parts on the originals episode? No? I think that's it. Or is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about?
No, I think the big part was just like the reveal of, like, why Davina is important.
And exactly,
why she's so powerful and why she trusts Marcel. Because, like, that was, like, I think the biggest question that we had when the originals first started was, like, why is she going against the witches? Like, it doesn't make sense. And so I love that we got this really interesting backstory on her, and like, it's just like, I don't know, it's interesting to see like the different layers of witches that there are, because up until this point we'd only seen like Bonnie and like, what is it, Expression?
Oh yeah, Express yourself.
So now we have Davina and the Harvest and ancestral magic, and so it's just kind of cool to see all the different webs of, you know.
Yes, exactly. I noted that like in the doc earlier, like it's these are not your TVD witches over here. These were like
not at all
separate set, and it's amazing.
I also really loved Rebecca and Haley in this episode.
Oh, like, I know.
Just so much fun. And I'm loving that Rebecca, you know, is being really protective of Haley and the baby. And, you know, like, this is your last trip to the bayou. Like, Rebecca's not going to let Haley just, like, throw herself into trouble anymore. Like, she's looking out for her. And I love the girl, you know, friendship stuff. It's just so cute. So I'm loving that. I hope we get more of it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be great. I ship them on like a friendship level. Totally. So, let's go back to some feedback that we have from Hypeable and from Twitter regarding these like episodes. The first bit of feedback is from Christina, who actually we talked about earlier, who had that theory that the knife that Matt has is the anchor. And also, she also says, also, Catherine totally got what she deserved for when she pushed Jeremy onto Silas. Amen. I agree. I don't think... Were you guys, like, upset that Catherine got pushed onto Silas? Because, I mean, she deserved it.
I mean, yeah. She's Catherine. Mm. she's done a lot of
She's been
of
running
bad.
For too long.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to get caught.
My whole thing, too, is just that she's... Exactly. That was exactly what it was. It's just like, it was about time that she, you know, didn't escape something. It's like, cause she always escapes. I know it's her thing, but mm-hmm. It's like,
she's always running and she always
where
like,
she didn't.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean. Kristen, can you read Joan's comment for Hypeable?
Sure. Joan says, Catherine's daughter was in a threesome with Matt and Rebecca. Talk about worlds colliding. LOL.
I love that, because it was just like, oh, that's a little, God, that's a little weird, right? Imagine, like, mother-daughter bonding, like, hey, so I had a threesome with Matt and Rebecca.
That's very weird.
Right?
It's definitely strange.
Yeah.
That's... Especially since Rebecca and Catherine, like, do not get along.
Exactly.
That's kind of fun.
That's why I had to pick that comment out, because it was, like, perfect. And then we have like one more comment from Twitter. Pam, can you get that one?
Sure. Savannah from Twitter says, I love the originals and all of the characters, but I feel like TVD is lacking direction / a purpose so far this season. What do you guys
think? I like agree, but like it's so hard because the originals started off with these set rules that they're going to follow. And they like, this is about family. This is about a struggle. And this is about war. Easy peasy, let's talk about that. And like Vampire Diaries has started for like 5 seasons now, and so it started off as like a love story, and now they've run so long, they've run that original story out, and now they're expanding. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but things are slowly developing on the Vampire Diaries and making it amazing.
It has going on. I like the focus on them being able to move on from high school and maybe have some sort of a college life. Like, I mean, it's not been typical so far, but, you know, I like that they're even experimenting with that. And I like the Silas and Ketsia story. Like, I like how the stakes have kind of been raised with all of that. So I'm not disappointed so far, but... you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll continue, and I'm sure it'll get a little more focused. The first 5 or 6 episodes are usually just setting up the crazy for the rest of the season. So mm-hmm. Hopefully there'll be some really good stuff coming that everybody will like.
Yeah, you see, I really think that Vampire Diaries have been like, they've been hitting all the right points so far this season. Like the past couple of episodes, I think actually had like huge wow factors in them. Like there are so many moments in the past 2 weeks that I've just been like, what, seriously, are you kidding me, like what? And normally those only happen like every once in a while, but this season on Vampire Diaries, it's happened a lot. So I don't necessarily understand how people are like less put off or more put off by the Vampire Diaries, because I think it's doing a fantastic job. And with that, that is our 40th episode for the week. We'll be back next week to discuss Vampire Diaries episode 6 and the originals episode 6. And until then, be sure to contact us and leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can contact us at twitter.com/vampirehype, gmail.com, or vampirehypepodcast@gmail.com, and, you know, any comment on hypeable.com. We'd love to read your feedback. Let us know how we're doing as a podcast and what you think about the show. I'm Kyle.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.